We thank you for joining us at the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. I'm talking with Dr. David Maines, who's the director of SermonCoach.com. SermonCoach.com exists to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And our topic today, David, is Sunday Soundbites. Every week, you include two Sunday Soundbites on the SermonCoach.com e-newsletter. Why do you do that?
Well, that's probably a good question. I imagine some pastors wonder why in the world I do that as well. Huh? I have found that as I go to church, it's like a world to itself in a cocoon. And nobody ever talks about the events that I'm reading about in the newspaper. It's like this is the religious cocoon, and we don't have those foreign things infiltrate here. Well, I like it when they infiltrate, and I like it because it says, as a church people, we are living in the same world that all the rest of you people live in. And I don't expect a lot of them to be used, but just on occasion, if a minister would relate words to the world in which most everybody is involved, that pleases me. And I hear that happen. You know, I hear that happen when somebody will reference what is going on in the world. Billy Graham used to do that a lot. But even when a local pastor does that, I say, oh, that's neat. I recognize the world he's living in. I don't think it needs to dominate, but I just like it in a special way. And so I try to show examples of how that might happen. And I give two every week, and I don't know how many times they're used by different pastors. Every so often somebody will say, I like your sound bites. And I don't know if that means he or she reads them and kind of enjoys them or will they actually put them into use. But Dean, I have been doing this for so long now. I mean, I've been doing it years and years, writing these sound bites. And sometimes when I write them, I kind of wish, I would like it if I were still a pastor. That's a good sound bite. I would use that in a service.
Well, that's probably the best testimonial we can get. Are the sound bites hard to find?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I find that it's easier for me to do it because I've been doing it for so long. And I know that, I could fit that into a pastoral prayer, or I could make that as an announcement or so on. The reason I think they're hard when you're not used to doing it is because I have had actually times when I met with denominational leaders. I'm thinking of a time I was in Kansas, and I said, let me show you how to do this. And so I had papers, and I gave them and put the men in different groups, and I think they were all men at that conference. And I said, now, you people in this group, you find whatever news story you want, and then decide how you're going to use that in a soundbite. And now you can come up with maybe a different one and so on. And, well, there were probably five or six groups, and after I gave them about 15 minutes, I called it to order. Let's find what you've done. And I found that they were struggling like mad. Wow. So the answer is, yes, it's hard, but at the same time, the answer is also it's worth it. I think it's worth it when somebody says, hey, that's neat. He referenced the sports world. My minister knows what's going on in football or baseball or whatever, you know, because a lot of times I think people think, well, the minister is kind of a holy person all to himself, and he walks on water when he wants to, and probably has concealed wings, and maybe has turned the halo down. You know, somehow that's neat for the minister, but he doesn't live in my world, or she doesn't live in the same world in which I live. So it's just kind of one of those things that reaches over barriers and say, yeah, I'm in your world.
Mm-hmm. It's part of that transparency and connection to reality and also development of relevancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, now is this a job that could be delegated to somebody else?
I think that's a great idea. And the only thing is, if somebody keeps coming up with these all the time and you never use them as the pastor, then you've put them down a dead-end street, and you don't want to do that. So you kind of are cautious as to what you're doing with people, but you know, I think this is as much a ministry gift as somebody who's a good soloist or somebody who's a good Sunday school teacher, somebody who writes good sound bites. I think I'm a good sound bite writer. You know, it's not my full-time profession. I don't get paid to do it, but I'm relatively good at it, and I think churches have a lot of people who are good at it, okay?
Okay. Okay, I'm game. Could we try it to see if I could do it?
I don't know if you're any good at it or not, Dean. I'll tell you what, let me read the ones that I did for this last week. They're kind of interesting ones. One was during a pastoral prayer, and I read this news story that there are a lot more grandparents raising children today than in previous times. And I thought, well, that's a good way. I could reference that in a pastoral prayer. So I said, I pray today for grandparents who are raising grandchildren. According to Census Bureau figures, 2.9 million children in the U.S. are being raised by a grandmother or grandfather or both. Lord, that's a 16% increase since the year 2000. It's not an easy job raising a family a second time. May we as a church be sensitive to such situations, I pray. Mm. Now, that's all that does is it's a legitimate prayer, and it fits into the pastoral prayer, but it says, oh, I saw that same story, but I went right on by it. I didn't think about, you know, but pastor thought about that. That's neat. Here's another one. When China has had this one-child policy for a long time, and I picked up a news story on that, and I thought, well, that could be used as an introduction to a baby dedication or a baby baptism or a birth announcement, any of those. You get those in church quite often. I would start the announcement by saying an aging population and the need for more workers has prompted the Communist Party in China to consider relaxing the decades-long ban that restricts most couples to one child. We're grateful that in the United States it's never had such a policy, and we rejoice each and every time a new baby is born into our congregation, such as, and then I would make the announcements, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, it's, you know, some people say it's an odd way to do that, but it says, okay, he knows, he saw that in the paper, I saw that in the paper, and there's just kind of a connection that is being made. So it gives you an idea of what I'm talking about. I know you understand what I'm talking about, but I'm kind of updating the person mm-hmm. who goes over my sound bites every time and doesn't pay any attention to them.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Is it my turn? Is it my turn now?
Well, I said let's pick one of these stories that you might see that, you know, you can't pick a – you can pick a local story. I can't pick a local story because if I pick a story that makes sense in Chicago, that may not make sense in New Orleans for a person right. reading the thing. So I have to get national or international stories. But I said, can you come up with one? And, yeah, you said I have a national story that is making news all the time and people will recognize it immediately. What was that?
The global warming thing, but specifically this rather minute temperature increase that's been detected, and the way that I envisioned that was on the particular Sunday where we are celebrating God's sovereignty, the fact that God is the one who is in control of all things. We can talk about the fact that some scientists are concerned about this increase in temperature and the consequences that might bring with all kinds of things, the melting of the icebergs and the ice shelf and the increased levels of water and so forth. But as believers, we know that you, God, are always in charge of every aspect of your creation. You didn't just create it and lift your hand. You created it. You continue to sustain it and perhaps even tie in a scripture passage that talks about that, whether it's Romans, part of Romans chapter 8 or some other passage that would be supportive of that, and make that the call to worship mm-hmm. in the service.
Yeah. I now bequeath to you my mantle of writing sound bites.
Cool.
You're good. Okay. In fact, Dean, if you want to, in the weeks ahead, you could do some and add them to the ones that I do. But you have the idea, and it basically says, I live in the same world in which you live. I experience the same news stories you do, and I'm going to incorporate it in what's going on. But that's what we want people to do, yes.
Cool. Well, that makes sense to me. Now that I've tried to do it, do you have any tips for me that would make it easier for me the next time?
Well, do you ever listen to my tips? I want to know that first as to whether or not I'll share them.
Absolutely. Okay. I've spent over 30 years listening to your tips.
Okay, if you convince me of that, then I can give you some tips. These are not a lot. I'm maybe the reigning expert in terms of the country on writing Sunday sound bites, but I don't know that I've ever thought about doing a course on Sunday sound bites. I find that I have a list. You're going to get the idea that I'm a list maker of all the different elements that can be a part of a church service, okay? I know there's a call to worship. I know there's a benediction. I know there's a pastoral prayer. I know there's a time when you make announcements. I know there are baby dedications. I know there are baptisms. I know there's a sermon. I know there's a special number. I know there's an introduction of a guest speaker. I know, you know, I got them all listed. And it's a pretty long list. So I keep that list. So when I get a story, I tend to take that story and say, where might that fit in the list? That helps me a lot, because otherwise I don't have anything that I can maybe fit that into. Sometimes it actually becomes a sermon illustration. And I know a lot of ministers keep sermon illustrations. So I write, when you're preaching on such and such, such a topic, here's a good sermon illustration, you know, and so on. So that's one of the things. Then I also have a certain time of key dates that I write down. So I might not, you know, easily, you know, when Christmas is coming, so you can write things related to that, or Easter, or New Year's. Those are big things. But I keep a list like 9/11. So I know that there's going to be a 9/11 Sunday, at least the Sunday that is closest to 9/11. So I probably am going to want some kind of a news story that relates to 9/11, because it's still fresh in people's minds. And I'm going to keep certain dates where I'm always looking ahead to say, what kind of news story might fit with that Sunday? That's going to be 4th of July Sunday. It's not on the 4th of July. Maybe it is. You know, but you say, I know that's the weekend, so I want to reference something that relates to our country. And that just, those give me help as well. So I keep these lists. And I find sometimes, because my mind doesn't pull it all back like a computer as much as it used to, those lists are a very helpful thing to me. That's the only suggestion I come up with right at the moment, but I think it's a good one.
Usually I've noticed that your sound bites are relatively serious. Could they ever be funny?
That's a good one. I think they're funny. I've written some real funny ones. In fact, one of the things that's on that list is bulletin involvement, you know. So I write funny things to put in the bulletin. Like I wrote in there one time as a Sunday soundbite, you will be interested to know that the board turned down the recommendation that instead of the sheet in the bulletin that says fill in the blanks on the pastor's sermon, we include Sudoku puzzles so that the teenagers can get occupied if they aren't interested in the sermon. You know, well, I mean, that's a dumb thing to do, but I thought it was funny. And I think somebody reading the bulletin, you know, it's the board turned down the recommendation that we put Sudoku puzzles there. You know. And that, to me, it's funny, you know, but I think if you're very serious and you think church is a serious time, not a time to put something funny in, then you don't have to use it, you know. But I would use it, and people, you know, people would come up to me. I'm sure if I were pastoring, so did the board really consider that? I know they look at some funny things, you know. Say, no, it's a joke, you know. So, anyway.
A Sudoku puzzle so the teenagers would have something to do.
So you don't like my humor that much either, huh?
No, I think it's hilarious. But I'm thinking about Jesus and sound bites. Did Jesus ever use sound bites?
Oh, man. I have to go back and constantly reference Jesus. And I like to reference Jesus, but not in this way. Okay, he, you know, he was current with what was happening. Mm-hmm. And some of the things are not even interesting to us because they happened so long ago, we don't pay any attention to them. But in the first part of Luke, I'm going to read just these verses. There were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So that was a news event. That's kind of a grisly story. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." So he's current with what is happening, mm-hmm. and he references, and then he goes on and says, "Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." So basically what he's doing, he's not writing a Sunday soundbite, but he's saying, I'm aware of what is going on in the world, and you're not going to bring something up that's going to surprise me. I live in the same world you do, and yeah, I can talk about that. So that's the closest I can come, I guess, in terms of responding to your question. But Jesus was aware, and people were made aware that he knew what was happening, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do with soundbites. I'm trying to say, I know what's happening in the world, and I'm the same as you are, and I just want to put the little reminder in there.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. Jesus did create a relevant connection because he knew these were things his people were talking about. And so Sound bites are a good thing. I'm becoming convinced.
That I like that. I got Jesus' approval on the sound bites.
I think that's
I don't
cool.
need anything else.
No, that it doesn't get any higher approval than that.
Nope, you can't do better than that, can you? This has been a great visit for me. I don't know for you, friend, but good for me. Hey, next, you always ask me what's going to happen next time, and I'm giving Dean a wonderful opportunity. He's got a lot of questions he wants answered, but none of them fit any overarching theme. So I said, okay, Dean, I will give you an opportunity to ask whatever questions you think are relevant, and I will do my very best to answer them, even though they don't connect in any way. Okay, they do connect to pastors and their sermons and their services, but I'll be interested to see what those questions are.
Very good. We invite you to come back and see what those questions are. This is the SermonCoach.com podcast. And as always, I suggest you visit us on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com.
Yeah, pay attention to those sound bites every week.
That's right. The sound bites, you can sign up for our e-newsletter that is sent out every Wednesday fairly faithfully. In fact, very faithfully in the last few months. We've been every Wednesday we send them out. And also, you can read the newsletter on the website as well. So we invite you to come back for the next podcast, and we'll see you then.